Blog Talk Radio.
One.
Thank you.
que yo tengo en la vida es estar junto a ti. Pero el mundo es adverso y encuentro que tú no te fijas en mí. Es que mi sino será quererte siempre. Y si llegas a amarme, tu esclavo yo seré. No habrá quien diga que no soy de ti, de mi madre.
To the Truth to Power show, and my name is Beverly, and we have Eddie Rodriguez with us tonight. It's an honor to have him with us. And Monday was the 21st anniversary of the passing of Tico Penitez. I think I'm pronouncing it right. So we're going to talk about that. Eric, are you there before I put our guest up? Are you with us?
Can you hear me, Beverly?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing this evening?
Man, I'm bubbling, babe. I'm bubbling.
Okay, let's pull our guests up. Let's see here. Eddie Rodriguez, it's a pleasure to have you with us tonight, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Beverly and Eric. It's a pleasure to be with you here and celebrating the anniversary. Not celebrating, but just acknowledging the anniversary of the 21st anniversary of the passing of the king of Latin music, the late, great Tito Puente, that I had the honor to work with. And the music that you played prior to you coming on, that was that piece was with Tito Puente and Eddie Palmieri. The last album recorded by Tito Puente was called Masterpiece. And the vocalist on that particular composition, his name is Germán Olivera, a Puerto Rican, who's what we call a sonero. A sonero is a singer that's able to improvise, you know, between the lyrics and the verses that they have already written. He's one of the classy ones. He's still around, and he's still with Eddie Palmieri performing, and it's an honor to be here tonight to talk about the last recording of the late, great Tito Puente called Masterpiece, but on the Tropi Jazz label, which is part of Universal Music Group. It's always sad, you know, this time of year. I listened to Hong Kong Mambo, and, you know, that was a live version of the Hong Kong Mambo, not the original audio recording. And then to hear him on the following tune playing Vibes, you know, it was, I get emotional because I hear that, and since I know that those were his last notes, you know, and I feel the intensity of his execution of to hit the right notes and where to hit them and how he did them. And I think the most important thing was, you know, I was there recording that, and we did that in one take.
Wow.
He was known as one take Tito. That's what he was. he was proud.
But Eddie, Mr. Rodriguez, before we get into Tico, I want the people to know who you are.
Okay. All right. Well, who I am? My name is Eddie Rodriguez. I was born in Puerto Rico. Grew up in the Bronx, and ended up traveling during my college days to California, and ended up in California. I wasn't a big Latin music fan in the beginning, growing up in the Bronx. You know, I come from the days of the 60s, and, you know, all the, you know, I just, one of those kids from when the real doo-wop music of New York kind of changed into rock and roll, and then, you know, kept evolving. But I always loved music. What can I say? And from a child, I loved music from when I was a child. My first feeling of music was at a concert rehearsal at Carnegie Hall with the great Leonard Bernstein, the New York Philharmonic. And, from there it was classical music, but it didn't matter to me. You know, I felt it. Mm-hmm. And throughout the years, I felt, you know, soul music, you know, I felt, you know, jazz music, you know, if I felt it, I liked it. And pretty much that's how I've been with my life. I loved Tito Puente's Latin jazz music. That's when I really got into it. I met Tito in 1979 in San Francisco. I had moved from the New York to the West Coast in 77. And he was into his Latin jazz experiment. Prior to that, you know, the bands, the Latin bands in New York, they used to be big bands, you know. They used to be 12, 15 mm-hmm. piece, up to 21 piece orchestras, you know, just like the days of the mm-hmm. bebop orchestras, you know. And, you know, there was no demand for that many musicians. And Tito was one of the smart ones. In the beginning, he formed his Latin jazz ensemble. And what he did was he picked some of the best cats that were around, you know, best pianists, you know, like a Jorge Dalto, rest in peace, a Potato Valdez, who was a Cuban, Jorge Dalto was from Argentina, a pianist, and Potato Valdez, a black Cuban, very short, the inventor of the adjustable a conga head with the wrench, and great conga player. Jerry Rivera, you know, just a bunch of cats, Bobby Rodriguez, you know, bass, you know, it was just a wonderful cat. So I was attracted to that music, to Tito. I was working for a radio station at the time, and we became friends, and ever since then, you know, we were always in touch, you know, up until, you know, that day I was at the waiting room and at the NYU Medical Center here in New York, and, you know, we were in the lobby, and they called the family upstairs. It was 11-something, and I was with Paquita de Rivera, the great Cuban saxophonist, and, you know, and they called the family upstairs. Paquita told me, Eddie, there's nothing we could do here, you know, let's go. Mm-hmm. I have an early flight, you know. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, I was positive. I thought they called the family, that we meant to give them good news. By the time I got right. home, I got the phone call that he was gone, you know. And I can tell you that, you know, we had just had a meeting the week before. We had a $1 million deal on the table for Tito that he had approved. We had a world tour that we were thinking about with Tito Puente and Eddie Palmieri, which would have been a world tour. We would have been on the road for 2 years, you know. And
okay,
none of that came to be. So it was a big, and we had symphonic. And Tito was very keen on doing his Latin jazz backed up by a symphony orchestra. And the last performance on this planet was the Tito Puente Latin Jazz Ensemble, accompanied by the Puerto Rico Symphony Orchestra. And what Tito told me about that orchestra, because he had performed, I mean, with so many different symphony orchestras throughout the years, was that particular symphony orchestra was the best symphony orchestra he had ever heard accompany him with his music.
Okay.
In other words, they had the swing, you know. And so about me, what I'm doing now, you know, I'm looking at young artists. We're thinking of reviving the salsa world again. I'm always looking for talent. I'm on the hunt for talent, and you know, my end of it is mostly development management and, you know, recording them and releasing them and promoting them and marketing them, and then going out and looking for, you know, to find the agents who can find them work, you know. And I'm a behind the scenes guy. I've always been like behind the scenes. Not too many people. Some people know me. People know me. They know me because I've dealt with them. But I've been my dream when I relocated from Los Angeles to New York in the 90s was to produce one sold out concert at Madison Square Garden. I ended up with two sold out concerts.
Okay.
And when I was offered the opportunity to work with Tito Puente in the 90s, you know, it was like a dream come true for me because I love Tito, you know, so it was like not working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course, music, you know, you never get tired. You know, you hear the same thing all the time, you know, but you don't get tired of it. You wonder, how come I don't get tired of listening to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's magic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not the same thing all the time live, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's always
mm-hmm.
something, an improvisation here. Because Tito used to love that. He used to put his musicians to improvise, you know. And he used to give them solos. He used to let them stretch out and kind of do their thing, you know. He was totally confident about him doing his thing. I think tonight
now you
we
say,
want to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You say that you are looking for talent, and you know that the real power is the behind the scenes people. That's where the really movers and shakers are. And so it's a lot of great talent out there. Is it a way that they can contact you?
Absolutely, they can go to my LinkedIn page, Eddie Rodriguez Latin Works Music, or. They can go, they can send me an email, you know. I mean, I'm on Instagram, Eddie Rodriguez as well, and on Facebook, Eddie Rodriguez. I guess there's a few Eddie Rodriguez's out there, but I think the best way is if you, you know, I can give you my email address.
Yes, what's your email address?
I can, you know, people could call me or they can send me anything, a bio, an MP3, a demo. The address is EDDIEROD, like in David, 213@gmail.com. Eddie Rod.
Okay.
@gmail.com.
Okay, Eddie Rod, 213@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now let's get into Tito. Tell us. Go ahead.
Tonight is a celebration of Tito Puente, the anniversary of his passing 21 years ago.
Okay.
Like I said, I was there in the waiting room when he was, you know, pretty much all day with his family when he was getting operated. I spoke to him the day before that. He was, you know, it's interesting. He died on a Tuesday, and I spoke to him on Monday. They were kind of like prepping him, and he was there with his family and. On Sunday, I spoke to him. On Saturday, I spoke to him. On Friday, I had gone to visit him, you know. And he gave me a lot of instructions, even when we were talking over the phone, you know, about what to do, you know, while he was recuperating. He didn't say what to do when he died.
He said, Eddie,
you know, I want you to keep the balls working. You know, I want it to be hot, you know. I want it to be ready when I come back, you know. After I recuperate. And I said, sure, Tito, so what do you think we should do, you know? He said, well, you know, I mean, he said, these guys, you know, they're musicians. They're not gonna go know how to handle an audience. So get my friends, you know, get my friends to be a special guest with them until I come back. And then I said, well, where do I tell you when? You know, that was just kind of like a question like that. I said, if they ask, where do I tell you when? And he said, tell them I'm in Canada. You know, I do not know why he said Canada. But the only thing that I could think about was in the 70s in the United States, we used to have people called the draft dodgers. Even you know, Tito was a military. He was a vet. You know, he was in the Navy. He was in the war, and he fought in. You know, he was on a ship that fought in the war. You know, the Second World War. But during the Vietnam War, there was a concept of people thinking that, well, you know, if I move to Canada, they won't find me. I'm not going to go get drafted by the, you know, Vietnam War, you know, and go to Vietnam. But for some reason, I think he just said that to me. You know, I mean, people wouldn't believe it. I have no reason to say it otherwise, you know. You know, the man told me he was going to Canada. And I just kind of, like, accepted it like that, you know. Okay, you know. You know, after 21 years, I could tell you there's a, I still feel a deep loss, you know. But we have some great music you left behind, like the one that you, the one composition you just played. I think maybe we should play one
what
or two
What was the
more.
Name of that that I just played?
Was
that the El Beso?
El Beso, yeah. El Beso.
Okay.
El Beso, which was Eddie Palmieri and an arrangement collaboration, Eddie Palmieri and Tito Puente.
So, the arrangement,
I'll tell you about the arrangements because I was there and I knew who did the arrangements. You know, there was a gentleman by the name of Jose Madera who was Tito's right hand and helping him arrange and do copy, you know, do all the charts and stuff like that. And he was an arranger too, so he had a lot to do with that last album that Tito Puente. He was with Tito, so. A lot of things that Tito did. Jose Madera, there were two guys that I could say that were Tito's guys that were with him, you know, for many years. One is John, we call him Johnny Dandy Rodriguez. He's a bongo player and a road manager. He was a road manager for Tito Puente's band after Jimmy Frisora passed away. And Jose Madera was Tito's arranger, producer, conga player, percussionist. When Tito was playing vibes, Jose was playing timbales, you know. And so, great people. They have the entire history of Tito Puente, those two gentlemen who I respect so much and admire them for their talent, you know. Un Beso, that was Un Beso. And I don't know what you have.
I got some. Now, you say this was his last album
That recording started at the beginning of the year. And by the time April came around, where he had his last performance in Puerto Rico. He was already kind of, by the end of April, you know, things were going downhill, you know, of his passion. So I was in the studio, the mixing, the mastering, the photo shoots. That was it. That was the last one. The liner notes, it's funny how his son... is out there now, you know, performing his music. But at that time in 2000, when he was thanking everybody, he said he wanted to thank his son, the rapper, and his wife was there. She said, take that out. He's not a rapper. But he was a rapper, you know. You know, back then, he's trying to break
a lot of young people,
But now he's doing his dad's music, so which is great. No one will replace his dad. He doesn't perform as soon as he does.
Now let me ask you this: why do you, how is the Latin music in the United States? I mean, is not that popular? Is it popular? Is it just a certain group, or you know, because Black music, it was just like in a certain area until it went, you know, international. How is it with Latin music?
I'd have to say that, we're kind of in a situation where Latin music is not international. I don't know if you heard of this kid named Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is worldwide. You know, we look at, you know, how music crosses over, and this is a kid that just put out a world tour tickets on sale, and in less than an hour, all the tickets were gone. So when I was doing record sales in the U.S., some of the record labels used to do, you know, anywhere from $50 to $100 million a year. Well, you know, the smaller ones less, but $10 million maybe. A small independent record label generating maybe a successful one, maybe $10 million a year back in the 90s, the CD. Now, you know, it changed over to digital. So, you know, what happens is a lot of people in the last 5 years, maybe 10 years, been active in signing, you know, young Latin talent that are musicians. You know, mostly my world was always dealing with the musicians, and now it's a singer and a DJ, you know, with beats. And so it's a vibrant business, I think, when you look at, we have 600 million Spanish-speaking people on the planet. You know, there are countries, they don't play English music, though. They play Spanish music, Mexico, for instance. You know, Brazil, they just play Portuguese language music. So there is a huge market. In the United States, we have about 70. We have 70 million Hispanics in the United States with a consumer spending power as a group, the Hispanic consumer spending, annual consumer spending. The last figures that came out was that the consumer spending by Hispanics was $2.3 trillion a year. You know, and bicycles and barbecue grills and houses and cars and shoes,
right,
and sneakers,
right,
and everything you could think, you know, laundry detergent, whatever you need, cereal, you know, soda, milk, whatever it is, as a group. So you would think that there's a lot of power in that, you know. But unfortunately, you know, the radio station, which used to be like the driver to get the music out there, were very, controlled by the owners. If the owner was Cuban, for instance, there was not a possibility of you getting a Cuban artist on that station to play on the radio station, because they thought that it was only going to help Fidel Castro. That was their, you know, you couldn't get that out of them. That was the way it was.
So it was up to the owners, not the DJ, to decide what kind of music was being paid?
In the early days, it was the DJs. Then it became programmed. Then it was format-oriented.
Okay.
And, an owner doesn't have to tell you what to put on.
You kind of know what he's looking for. Right.
Right.
So do you think that this is a good opportunity for this market to open up now? Because now we have a lot of Spanish people that's coming into America every day now that, you know, Biden has opened up the borders. And so to me it seems like that, you know, if a person is away from home, if it was me and I would want to listen to my music, it would kind of, you know, give me a closeness to my roots, to my home. So it seems like it should be a marketing that really should be opening up in the United States here, dealing with the Latin music.
I agree. I think that that is definitely how I saw it happen in New York. you know, with the Puerto Rican community, you know, the people used to go see the groups that they knew from Puerto Rico. They used to come in and they, you know, places used to get big crowds and a lot of dancing, a lot of dancing. This is, you know, all that music, that music we just heard from Tito Puente was a cha-cha and a bolero, which was a slow dance, bolero,
okay,
like a ballad, you know, for two people to dance, you know, people used to dance that. So, romantic, you know, not anymore, you know. I mean, those types of that particular ballad now are more considered pop kind of. But no, it was folk music that was coming from Puerto Rico to New York back then. You know, I didn't like it, but my parents did. You know. And you're absolutely right. I think there should be some thought put into, you know, these immigrants, where they're coming from, and providing them some music from their homelands. I think that's always a great event.
And what is the music, the Latin music of today? Is, I mean, is it
the
younger
music
people,
today,
what are they listening to?
Well, they're listening to Raging Hormones music. It got on the lyric side, and even on the dance side. And the most famous Latin artist from Puerto Rico today is a young man. I don't think he's 25, 26 years old. His name is Bad Bunny. Just check him out. Bad Bunny.
Okay.
Bad Bunny, that's his name. And this kid has rocked the world with the beat that came out of Atlanta, which is called trap music. And what he did
trap,
yeah, from Atlanta. And that music, he took that beat and he put Spanish lyrics on it. And the kids gravitated to it because it was something different. It wasn't the same old reggae song from before. You know, like the Don Omar and those big guys, Daddy Yankee and all those guys. We got some big guys, you know, that have been around for a while, Daddy Yankee, Don Omar. You know, these artists have traveled the world a few times, not once. I mean, in the last 20 years, you know, they've gone around the planet a few times, to China, everywhere. And so today, who's like the biggest artist? His name is Bad Bunny. There's a young man from Colombia. His name is J, like the letter J. Last name is Balvin, B-A-L-V-I-N. That, he has billions of views on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, J Balvin, and see the kind of audience that they have, you know, on Spotify. Go to YouTube, you know, go to any of the music platforms. You know, they have tens of thousands of people listening to them hourly from somewhere. I would say that's what's happening now. Trap, which we call, actually, it's the new Latin pop.
Okay.
And then we have salsa.
Interesting.
Salsa music, which Mark Anthony is probably the top salsa artist in the world, you know, Puerto Rico from New York. When I started working with Mark, you know, he came from kind of like that disco world, that dance world, that what we call freestyle world that was happening at the time in New York, and it was all in English, so recording something in Spanish was something new to him, and the guy that I was close to and worked with for many years, rest in peace, his name was Ralph Mercado. He decided to spend some money on Mark Anthony, record him and promote him, and all of a sudden, you know, people gravitated to his voice, not to his looks, but they gravitated to his voice. And Mark Anthony started to become popular, and that was in the 90s. And I used to book a show. The first shows for Mark Anthony, I used to book them, like promotional shows, for $3,500 per show. Right now, a show for Mark Anthony will run you about $350,000 for one performance.
Wow.
So, you know, it's big business. You know, there's artists that are charging more than that, you know, half a million artistry, you know, quarter million up there, you know, but it's no more $10,000 or $20,000. These guys have a huge, huge following. And, you know, with jazz, we got Latin jazz. We got this still a living legend alive by the name of Eddie Palmieri, who was on that album with Tito Puente. It was a collaboration album. The album album you're playing tonight, I remember it being 10 years in the making before it got to me. I remember it being spoken about and being, you know, contemplated and exchange of ideas until it finally happened. And the person that was leading the way for the project was a gentleman by the name of Jack Horowitz. They used to call him Jack Hook. And he used to manage Tito before the baton was handed over to me when he passed away. And so the first thing I did when that happened was to start working on this album. And that happened to be the last recording of the late, great Tito Puente.
Okay.
Obra Maestra. In Spanish, it's called Obra Maestra. In English, it's called Masterpiece.
Okay, okay. Eric, did you have anything to say to add to this before I go to the music?
Flash it, Beverly, bump it. I'm. Let's go. Flash it.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to go here. Let's see what I'm going to play here.
Yo la quise, muchachos, y la quiero, y ya jamás la podré olvidar. Yo me emborracho por ella, y ella quién sabe qué hará. Yo la quise, muchachos, y la quiero, y ya jamás la podré olvidar. Yo me emborracho por ella, y ella, quién sabe qué hará. Echemos más champán. Mi vida ya se fue.
mí me digo Francisco Agua Bella, lo que te pertenece siempre va a llegar. Hay que tener paciencia, olvidarse de quien va adelante, el mismo que va adelante, un día no logrará pasar. Escucha bien lo que digo. Este consejo que dice así.
Talking with Eddie Rodriguez. He is a label record executive and a close friend to the late and great Tito Pintez. Eddie?
Yeah. Oh, that was that singer in that last. Well, you heard a little bit of Eddie Palmieri, the great living okay. legend of Latin music. On a piano solo there on this on that last scene, the lyrics of that song, you know, are incredible. And the song and the composition before that was again with Germán Olivera, and he did a great job on that. Like I said, you know, most of that last one was like a cha cha, you know.
Yes.
You know, but once again, you know, we're talking about, you know, in the days of the 40s and 30s, 40s, 50s, all those years, you know, dance was a crucial part of you know, the lifestyle, so to speak, everyone's lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, people realized that music wasn't something that, you know, oh, you could take it or leave it, but more of a necessity to be able to be happy, you know, have a happy lifestyle and enjoy life.
Yeah, and I noticed a lot of the music is very moving. It's upbeat. It's dancing music.
Exactly.
And I happen to look at some of the latest dances that they have, and it's very interesting. But, I mean, it's nice. It's really good to look at, too.
Well, you know, this is South, you know, all of this started with a rhythm called El Son, Son Cubano,
okay.
S-O-N.
Uh-huh.
And from that, you know, gravitated to the East Coast. You know, these big bands were doing that. You know, Machito and his Afro-Cubans were doing that in the 40s. And they were the groundbreakers, really, for instrumental music being Latin, instrumental music being becoming popular. And even before that, there was a guy by the name of Chano Pozo who came from Cuba, and he did something with Dizzy Gillespie to start a movement during that whole conga craze, where they used to have the conga lines in movies. And, you know, everybody thinks of Babalu and this and that, and I Love Lucy, and that Latin sound when Lucy, the I Love Lucy show, the intro, you know, music and the outro music, you know, was always this upbeat conga playing music. But that whole conga Babalu thing came from Chano Pozo, because he used to play that one drum like that, you know, with a strap around his neck and playing the drum, one drum. And then, you know, obviously for shows you had two drums. What was interesting to me during those times was those drums weren't you couldn't tune them, you know, like on the fly, like you can today. You know, you had to spend time on your instrument to tune it up with a heated with some heat, with a flame, so to speak, to tighten the skin. And so, you know, that took time with congas as well as with bongos and with timbales as well. So, you know, musicians were really into their craft. They knew how to. They learned all these things, you know, from people before them, and it all ended up in New York City. And, you know, when Tito Puente was here playing with the big band, he had a few Cuban singers that came with him. Vicentico Valdez was a huge hit with Tito Puente. Celia Cruz, you know, the queen of Latin music, was a huge hit with Tito Puente. Another Cuban artist, her name is La Lupe, was incredible, you know, singer from Cuba, collaborated with Tito Puente. Machito, who from the Afro-Cubans, Tito used to love Machito. You know, he did a composition called Machito Forever that I remember he used to love performing. But going back to this particular, what's happening now, and going back to this particular recording, don't forget, this is 21 years ago, this recording.
Okay.
You know, this recording, when he passed, the recording was just about to come out. So he never saw the release of his album. He didn't get to enjoy the two Grammys that it won.
It won two Grammys after his death?
You're Playing Tonight won the Latin Grammys when they first started, Latin Grammys, and they also won the Grammys, which are, you know, for the general market.
Okay. Interesting.
Back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And, he didn't get to see that or to receive his Grammys in person. And, you know, it's interesting how you can work with an artist and be so close to them, but not be really as close to the family, you know?
Yeah,
and
you are
with
yeah.
And when a tragic situation like that, like an illness or a passing, you know, happens, you know. The family really doesn't, they know the people that they know, but they don't know a lot of other people that were involved with
them. Yeah.
With the, you know, with working with Tito, you know, all over the world. We're not just talking about here in New York, all over the world. And so, but the family has their own, you know, kind of story to tell. There's going to be a movie about Tito Puente. His son is kind of collaborating with some folks in Hollywood. From what I understand, you know, they did something for his 20th anniversary, but it was never released. And Tito Jr. did. But it was never released. So, but, you know, we remember Tito. You know, we'll always remember Tito.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that was an experience because you worked with him. And it seems like, you know, it's just fun. The music sound is fun, and it seems like it just, you know, when they get together, it's just a party. It's like a party, fun, happy vibration that was there.
Like I used to tell people, one time I was with Tito at a benefit show that I produced to help the victims of a hurricane in Haiti or in the Dominican Republic. And so he said, you know, Eddie, I'll be there. So, you know, we had a band there, a house band, so to speak, top musicians. And so Tito and I were sitting down waiting for them to introduce him. So we just on the side of the stage there, backstage, and they call him Tito Puente, and then he gets up and, you know, he goes out, and then he says to the band leader, he says, "So what are we going to do?" He said, "Well, whatever you want, Tito." He said, "Can we do 4 feet?" He said, "Sure, 4 feet." And 4 feet was kind of like, you know, just a basic, like, rhythm. You know, like like a basic Latin beat, so to speak. And he started performing. And all of a sudden, it came time for his solo. And so here he jams a great solo, an incredible solo. And then everybody's clapping, standing up, and cheering. Everybody, here's Tito saying goodbye with his stage. And he comes to the next stage, you know, on the side of the stage. And he gets to me. He says, "Eddie, where's the ambulance?" I didn't expect that one. He said, "That one really did it." He was a joker, you know, he didn't expect to be so tired, but it came out of somewhere. I don't know where it comes from with some of these musicians and some of these artists. They have a God gift, and they get on that stage and they transform into a entertainer. And they get off stage, and the people like Tito Puente used to be like, you know, very humble. You know, today the artist gets off the stage, he has security, get him off stage, and doesn't talk to anybody. Like, he's really big stuff. So, you know, that's the way the business is now with Latin artists. But before, no, Tito could go somewhere and people would ask him for an autograph. And, you know, I never thought it necessary to have security around Tito like that. You know, you don't find humble people like that anymore. Eddie Palmieri is still very humble. And there's a lot of humble, talented pianists. One from this Chucho Valdez, the black Cuban pianist. There's so many humble musicians out here, you know, doing Latin music. You know, we call it Latin jazz, but these are musicians.
And so
you have to practice. You have to they have to practice on top of practice to be able to perform like that. Because these are for trumpets and for congas, you know, stamina is super important, you know. Usually the shows run about 90 minutes, you know. Sometimes can run longer. And that can run up to 2 hours. So, yeah, that's that kind of talent
that's
today.
Exercise.
I'm telling you.
To get out there for 90 minutes, and that's a lot of energy. But like you say, they talent come out when they are on stage. So how do you see the business part of it today? Is it any different than back then? I know you say like some of the artists, you know, are more secluded, but business-wise, is it basically the same business as usual, or is it different?
Well, Beverly, what I have to say is that, you know, Latin people like to dance in particular.
Mm-hmm.
All people like to dance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's ever going to go away. People wanting to move their body or move their, tap their toes, or you know, feel good about it. Music that they hear, they're listening to. I don't think that's ever going to change. I think that where we're going is in an interesting direction for Latin music, because before we used to have to count on a radio station to be at a certain in a certain city in Spain. There were many Spanish radio stations in a lot of cities all over the United States, and perhaps the radio station was only targeting or some listeners that were of a particular genre of music. It could be like Mexico, you know what I'm saying? It could be like all ballads or romantic music. Or it could be tropical music, or it could be urban music like it's been for the last 20 years now. But still, you know, you don't have a lot of high-quality radio stations. But now we have digital radio. We have Spotify. We have Pandora. We have Apple Music. We got Tidal Music. We got so many of Deezer. We have so many others. Amazon. I mean, so many platforms. There are more mobile devices on the planet than people. There are something like 9 billion mobile devices on the planet right now. So when you say, wow, now I can find those people that like this specific type of music because that's what they listen to, then me as a marketer, it becomes easier to reach that audience to see if they like it or if they don't. No, it's always up to the consumer, the music listener, you know, whether they like something or not. And in the words of Tito Puente, they got to feel it. They got to feel it. They like it, that means they feel it. And so it could be the lyrics, it could be the beat, but I don't think I think it's going to continue to grow. I think now the Latin music industry will grow, you know, into an industry that you can match to any other mainstream industries, you know, in a few years, you know, like the urban or R&B music industry, you know, all the record labels, Capitol. Republic, they all have, you know, R&B artists, which used to be called urban adult contemporary. Then it used to be called, before that, it used to be called soul music. Then it was called black music. Then called roots music. All that. You know, everything has an evolution. And so, when we say Latin music, is it really Latin? It's not Latin. It's Spanish language music, you know. But the people from the old magazines like Cashbox and Billboard magazine, Billboard, you know, not until the 80s, but Cashbox, you know, in the early days of Hollywood, when they used to produce films, they used to do them in English, and they used to do what they called a Latina, Very good. So that would mean, you know, doing the same movie with the same set, just with different people talking Spanish. And so, you know, we've been imitating people doing stuff in English for years. But now with this Latin trap and this urban kind of sound, the Latin sound has been defined as like an upbeat, happy, you know, want to move type of dance for all ages, all ages. And if I were to tell you that in Cuba, there's a dance that they do that hasn't reached the United States because of the embargo. It's been around since the 70s. And you see children at the age of 3 years old, 4 years old, kids dancing the dance, same dance, and you see a grandma 90 years old dancing the same dance. How could that be that they never got to America, that beat? And so now because of access online and digital access and digital marketing, I think it's a new I think it's a new day for Latin music. And this show, you know, you're a political spiritual show. From a spiritual standpoint, you know, we're looking at, you know, music as spiritual in the sense of And truth to power is, you know, you hear a lot of stories about a lot of things and a lot of different things, but here you have an opportunity to ask any question you want about a particular figure in the industry, in the Latin music industry. If it's not me, you know, it'll be down the line, it'll be someone else. But hopefully this could be the beginning of truth to power in terms of music and, you know, how things really went down. I can't tell you today that he died of, I can't tell you he died a millionaire. You know, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that because if he was, I wasn't aware of it. But I'm sure he's a millionaire.
Well, I know one thing.
But I know he has millions
now. I know one thing. He looked like he was happy. He had fun.
Yeah, I could tell you that. He had a lot of friends, a lot of places. He did enjoy his friends. You know, I don't know what else you got queued up there.
Okay, let's go here. Let's see what I got here. Muddy Water.
Prepárate bailador, este baile ya se formó. Mambo, hermano Oscar de León, cantando tango, amor.
We're talking with record label executive Eddie Rodriguez, and we are speaking on the history of Tico Pintez. Eddie, are you with us?
I'm still here. You were
still
just
here?
Listening.
Okay.
Yes, very much inspired by what I heard, thinking of that day when Tito recorded that song that you just heard. And
yes, I like that.
Yes, that was a picadillo. That's a classic Tito Puente. And Eddie Palmieri on piano and him and doing the exchange. It's so interesting how he had in the sound booth, we had three pairs of timbales. The timbalón, which is two kind of like bass timbales, which, you know, drums, you know. And then we had timbales. We had, you know, once again, there's another pair there, you know, one higher note tone than the other. And then the timbalito, which is a smaller one. You get a different sound. And it was so incredible that Tito Puente did that on one take. And he knew exactly to hit the skin, you know, with the amount of pressure, you know, exact, you know,
right,
the sight. For him not to have to do it again, I mean, he just knew exactly where each note had to go. And a lot of people can't appreciate that it was done on one take. You know, they think, oh, well, this guy probably did it 10 times over. But no, it was him coming out and saying, hey, how did it sound? It sounds great to me, you know. That's why they call me, you know, one take Tito. And so that was his line. On that one, it was another one take experience that I saw with the late great Tito Puente. And prior to that, there was a great artist from Venezuela that was singing by the name of Oscar De Leon. He's probably one of the top vocalists. There's another Latin singer that tours the world and around the world many times performing. Oscar De Leon. He came in to do that particular date for this recording.
Okay.
And prior to that, there was a singer by the name of Cherry Medina from Puerto Rico. He had, you know, he's one of Eddie Palmieri's favorites because his voice is so high up there. He was doing like that jazzy stuff, the Muddy Clubs Blues and Waldheim. It's a German club. That's all I know. It's a club in Germany that Eddie Palmieri composed a tune about it. And the Paris, the one with Oscar De Leon, they were talking about Paris, you know, because Paris loves this Latin music. You know, sometimes in places other than where you are, you know, you could be, I want to say you could be like in a place like Philly. Let's just say a place like Philly. You would think, you know, a place like Philly would embrace, you know, Latin music, like, you know, to be like, you know, something, or New York, you know. I don't see it embracing. I still see it, you know, not being popular. In other words, if you have a performing arts center, chances are, and you know, they won't put a lot of Latin music throughout their season for some reason or another. I see more of that now, but if you added that, I'm seeing more of it now. Yes, and I believe that that's the way to get through to the masses, you know, from the unknowns to the knowns. And the way that happens is with a live performance. Because ordinarily, you know, you know, video or online or any of that, it's got to be at a place. It's got to be, perhaps you have a membership. It has a, if you don't go, you have tickets and, you know, you have season tickets. If you don't go, you give them away to someone else. But, you know, things like that continue to enrich people's, you know, their sense of, you know, this music is a necessity. It's not a luxury. You know, I need this, even though it's Latin, even though it's, from India, from wherever it is, any part of the world, you know. Symphonic music. How long has symphonic music been around? And people still feel it. People don't think about how people feel an opera. You know, how could it be? So, with that, I say that this will be a wonderful year, a wonderful decade for Latin music. And with your help, I'm sure that we'll continue to grow an audience that can participate in all of these events and all these radio programming projects that you have, for the coming months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we will be doing some YouTubes or live screening to be able to see the performers also.
I just wanted to end by by talking about that last day that my last day with Tito Puente, was on a Friday. He passed on a Tuesday, May 31st, 2000. I was with him on Friday, and it's just a little story. I don't know how many people are listening in, 1 or 10 or 15 or 15 or whatever. But it was a curious little story, because I had told him about a song that he has called Oye Como Va, which is one of his signature tunes, and Carlos Santana recorded and made it big.
Okay.
And I had a company that wanted to acquire the rights of that song for 10 years for them to take that song and exploited how they want to put it in movies and commercials and all kinds of different things, and generate obviously the music publishing rights, the royalties. So they recouped their $1 million. They recouped their $1 million, and then everything else is split with Tito Puente for 10 years for 50-50. Then it returns back to him. I called about the deal. He said, "Yeah, talk to my wife." So I spoke to his wife about the deal, and he said, "Well, I don't know if we want $1 million like that. I like my money coming in drips and drabs." So I left it at that. I just, on the subject. So the Friday before Tito passed, I was at the hospital with him, and he gave me a copy of Billboard magazine. He said, "Eddie, here, this is for you." And when I looked at it, it was an advertisement on the bottom. And it had Ashford and Simpson. It had James Brown. It had the Isley Brothers. It had some other people from Philly, people from the Philly sound. I forgot who they are. And then they had a box that said next with a question mark on it. And I turned to Tito. I said, "Tito, remember that $1 million deal I was talking to you about?" He says, "Yeah, whatever happened to that?" And I said, "Well, you want to buy something, You said, "Go deal with your wife." He told me she likes some money coming in drips and drabs. He says, I said, "So what was the deal?" I said, "Well, they were going to give you $1 million. I told him the deal. And he said, "Man, but that's my music. She can't say that. You go ahead and get that $1 million. On the Friday, sitting talking to me like he's okay, everything's okay, normal, And I got so excited. So I called the people, start talking, and everything is set. So I tell him, "Well, he's in the hospital now, He's not able to, He said it's a go, So as soon as he gets out, we'll make this thing happen. That Tuesday, obviously he passed away. So when they called me about the, that from the hospital that he had passed, it was quite a experience, And I wouldn't wish it on any artist manager, because it's quite an experience.
Dramatic.
When you start getting loads of phone calls from the entire press, it's nonstop, 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours. the press, the press, the press. Everybody calling you about this too, because people knew me already. You know, so, and I was the contact to Tito. And then after the 3 or 4 days and the burial, the cemetery, and all that stuff, and the phone went silent.
Just that fast.
The king is dead. Long live the king, you know? And so that was it, you know? That was it. It changed my career path, you know, in different ways, but I've grown from the experience. And today I'll never regret a minute of being with the with our late, a great living you know, he was a living legend. I got to be with him, the king of Latin music. Thank you. So thank you so much for allowing me to share some of my story about you.
Okay. And before you go, Eddie Rodriguez, can you give out your information again? Because, you know, you do have the knowledge. You are a recording label executive. So you have contacts, you have the knowledge, the experience. And so give out your email so the talent that is out there want to contact you, how they can contact you.
Okay, well, right now we're looking for 18-year-old to be become the next voices and the next talents in music, black, Latino artists in particular, the man. We believe that, that experience of relating, you know, it's very common in places all over the Caribbean and Latin America. You go into all black communities, but it's like, you know, and the musicians, everything is, you know, Afro-Latino, you know, it's an Afro-Latino community. People feel good there, you know, that they're with their people, you know, it's like everybody relates. It's incredible. And that type of experience, you know, I think could be exported to places, you know, that there's not wars going on, you know. But, you know, all over the world. I mean, it's just feel-good music. It's just great music. It's cultural music. You know, the Chinese and the Japanese, they come around the USA. They do their Feshuan, the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's a festival. Cherry Blossom Festival events and performing arts centers. You see that in New York and L.A. all. You know, somebody spending money, the government has to be spending money on some of this. And I think that what you heard of this last recording of Tito Puente was a bridge of 100 years of experience between Eddie Palmieri and Tito Puente, and adding this original roots of mambo dance music and the evolution into the jazz, more international sound that I don't know if you were able to pick that up with some of the solos and some of the music you heard tonight. But on the last tune is a very African. One of the tunes that you're going to play, I hope you get to play it, is called Itutu Ache, you know, and that was pretty much a ceremonial type of from Santeria, from the Cuban Yoruba language they're speaking there. That was my good friend Milton Cardona, may he rest in peace. It was people on this album like Peter Conde Rodriguez, rest in peace, incredible, you know. I don't know. I don't think Chilton Heru was got to play in this album, but this is just, and, you know, most of those artists that were singing on that album are still alive, and Eddie Palmieri is still alive. Perhaps we will see a tour, you know, a tribute to Tito Puente's masterpiece album with Eddie Palmieri, and see some of these people live on stage. And, you know, it may not happen overnight, but definitely it's on the to-do list.
Okay. And your email was still great talent out there. Yeah.
Eddie Rock
eddierod213@gmail.com. That's eddierod213@gmail.com.
All right, Mr. Eddie Rodriguez, and we thank you for giving us your time and your energy, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, thank you very much, Beverly and Eric, for the invitation. I'm here, you know, whenever you want to do this again, I'm available, and God bless you, and truth to power.
All right. You keep up the good work.
You too,
okay,
Beverly.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
All right. Bye. All right. Better love.
Bye-bye. Ateo.
Y tú, tú, ate, o mi tú, tú, le di.
Ache, cosi, cu, cosi, ano, cosi, araye, ateo.
Y tú, tú, ate, o mi tú, tú, le di.
Ise, o lua, cole, pacheo.
Y tú, tú, ate, o mi tú, tú, le di.
Moyuba, o batala, papá mi. Ateo, a tu pues.
Y tú, tú, ate, o mi tú, tú, le di.
Eshu, ábreme camino. O tosi, tumbara, ye, con tu
y
flecha.
Tú, tú,
cabo,
ate,
capi,
o
sí.
Mi tú, tú, le di.
El rey de la tela blanca, o batala, babami.
Y tú, tú,